So welcome to episode 3 of our COP27 series in partnership with Fujitsu. This episode is all about the Holy Grail Scope 3 emissions, the importance of SMEs in the drive to net zero. Now, Scope 3 emissions, apparently, if the information that I'm getting is correct, amounts for up to 80% of carbon emissions when it comes to your business. We're going to find out all about it, even find out what Scope 3 emissions includes. Let's get straight into the episode. So welcome to our next episode of our COP27 series special. This particular episode is on, Scope 3. You know, what is Scope 3? So we're going to be talking that with our experts today. We've got Victoria Ward from Fujitsu. We've got Justin Sutton Parker from PX3. We've got Mark Parsons from NatWest. And we've also got Gudrun Cartwright from the Business in the Community. Welcome. Nice to see you all. Thank you for joining us. So Justin, I'm going to kick straight off with a question to you. So would you tell us exactly what Scope 3 emissions is and what it covers in relation to SMEs? Because you're the expert in this field.
Certainly. So to look at Scope 3, let's just quickly explain the scope. So scopes are categorizations of GHG emissions, and they're created because companies have to account for the GHG emissions that are involved with their business operations. So if we could quickly look at Scope 1 is what we call a direct emission. So that would be created by things like company facilities or company vehicles. So something that's you're really in control, it's something you directly create. And then we've got upstream activities, which are Scope 2 and Scope 3. So Scope 2 is a really simple one. That is basically the purchased electricity that you use. It's indirect, because basically you don't produce that electricity, but you do use it. Scope 3 indirect, the upstream side of things, is looking at things like leased assets, it's employee commuting, business travel, waste, and sort of purchased goods and services. So if you're looking to affect Scope 3, then you look at what purchased goods that you're buying or using have got the lowest carbon footprint. But Scope 3 also exists in the downstream activities. And when we look at that, again, it's indirect, but that's things like transportation and distribution. So you think about your products, the way they go out, or your services, that can be the processing of your sold products, and also the use of your products. If you're making efficient products, then that is your downstream activity. The easiest way to think about upstream and downstream, upstream is that it's basically, it's flowing onto you, and you can only control it by making selections of the lowest carbon footprint products or services. And then downstream activities, you're actually responsible for this happening. So if you're producing low carbon footprint services or products, then you will pass that on to other people as a downstream activity. And hopefully that makes sense.
Thank you for that, Justin. Really insightful, because I know it's a bit of a holy grail at the moment. Everyone's looking at Scope 3, but no one really seems to know exactly what
Big
they're looking
subject.
At. Yeah, it's a big subject. I mean, just to stay on Scope 3 as well, it amounts for, am I right in saying possibly 70 to 80% of emissions across?
Easily. So if you look at it from an IT perspective, say if you went and bought a laptop as an example, Scope 3 is the embodied emissions for a device, and that is about 80% of the life cycle of that device. So the 20% will be the Scope 2, which is around the emissions from electricity. So yeah, absolutely, making different decisions around your Scope 3 is so vital to business, and if more businesses can come on board and actually achieve that, then we would be in a much better place.
Now, fantastic. So we're really going to unfold this and hopefully give some real insight to our listeners so that they can begin to understand the tangible changes that they can make within their organization. So Mark, moving on to you. So with SMEs and creating more than 50% of GDP in the UK, I think that stat's about correct. Are we seeing these small medium enterprises taking responsibility for driving down emissions themselves within Scope 3 specifically? And what are we seeing on the global scale? You seem to be in the best position at the moment to answer some of that, and then we can open it out to the others.
Yeah, thanks, Jarvis. I think if you went to the average SME in the UK and asked them, you know, what their Scope 3 emissions were, I think you'd have a lot of blank looks. It's a real challenge for small businesses. So 9 out of 10 SMEs don't know what their carbon footprint is at all. Half of them know that they've got to do something or want to do something, but most of them don't really know how to make the first step. So I think we have to come back down to earth a little bit, imagine that we're in the position of a owner manager, a lot of things on their plate at the moment in particular, and doing something on the environment is often seen as a nice to have, but it's not something that's there front and center at the moment. So I think we've got a job to do, and that's why banks like ours and everybody around this table is really driving this forward to try and get businesses to number one, acknowledge that this is something that they'd like to take action on, but number two, actually make some tangible first steps, and we'll no doubt get into a bit of more about how they can do that later on.
Yeah, great, thank you. And Gudrun, I'm sure business in the community was yes.
Yes, I was going to say, can I add to that? So, so I think I would say that what's happening now is that we know from some research we did with YouGov last year that about two-thirds of small businesses don't have a net zero or a significant carbon reduction strategy, and they're not intending to create one. But I would say also that things have changed quite significantly over the last year. So everybody's scope one is somebody else's scope three, and that's particularly the case for small businesses that feed into supply chains of larger businesses.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, so when you look at what's happening with larger companies, about, and Mark will be able to correct me if I'm wrong on here, but about 1,300 of the UK's biggest companies now have to report on the risks and opportunities of climate change, both the net zero transition and the impacts of climate change due to the Task Force for climate-related financial disclosure. So that's all the banks, that's all the big companies registered on the London Stock Exchange and others. So what's happening is that as these companies start to get to grips with their scope three, they are looking down their supply chains and wanting to see what small companies are doing. And that means that there is an increasingly an incentive for companies to do it and an ask for companies to do it. And I was talking to somebody just yesterday who was saying that, they were in a supply chain of one of our big members in their previous role, and they had been asking them to do lots of things which they hadn't necessarily thought of before. So if you don't think it's relevant to you now, then it's coming, and it's coming quite quickly from your customers and also from investors.
Can I add to that point?
Please.
So you made a really good point there about the companies on the London Stock Exchange size-wise. The other thing that changed with that particular law is from the Companies Act is that the government was brought into having to do the GHG reporting around various different scopes in the last few years. And part of that is they do report scope two around electricity, etc., and they're looking at other areas. But I'm currently doing some research with them around scope three. And the scope three impact is huge. You made the point, other people's scope one is other companies' scope three. But what I found from that is actually people realizing, as Jarvis mentioned earlier, the amount of impact that scope three has, because it is absolutely huge. So they're looking at that to change policy and make sure that that's tightened, to make sure that everybody's there. But the point I was going to make is the more of these companies this happens to, the more people change jobs, appear in other jobs, in other roles, in other companies, and then they diffuse that message across those companies. So I'm seeing a lot of that happening where people are actually moving between industries, and then you find it appear in the next one. So it's really good, it's really linked.
Nice. There's finally some movements. It's like pieces of Jenga falling into place, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for that, Justin. And Victoria, is there anything to add for that? Or would it be, firstly, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, completely agree with what the others have said. I mean, I describe what I do as the beneath the waterline of the iceberg, you know, and as the others have said, we're worried about what we're doing internally in Fujitsu and what our suppliers are doing, because that's what our customers want to know. But so we are a supplier of our customers. So it's just a continual evolution, isn't it? If it's icebergs, there's the never-ending iceberg of we need to know what each other is doing, and actually we're all in this together. We all have to work together to reduce our overall carbon emissions.
Yeah, thank you, very, very important.
It's a really good point, Jarvis, because Scope 3 is pretty much all about collaboration. So, you know, with your employees and with your suppliers, because we're all in this together.
Yeah, well, this whole climate chaotic crisis is about us all coming together, isn't it? It just that happens to be a term, Scope 3, that is hopefully beginning for people to understand that. Thank you. I'm going to stay with you, Victoria, if I may, because obviously, you know, technology, how important is it? How is technology being used to capture and analyse data? And is it making it easier for businesses to react? And I will come to the rest of you with that question as well, but from a Fujitsu perspective.
Yeah, technology is obviously crucial. That's what we do. But we, at the moment, we're currently working through our Scope 3 emissions ourselves, as are, in theory, some SMEs, and working out which ones we measure and which ones we don't. And our supplier footprint is the one that we don't currently have a means to measure accurately, because recognising it's difficult for SMEs to have that data to. They don't need to report on it themselves, but we're asking for it as their customer in the same way as we're being asked for it by our customers. So we need to use technology to do that, but in a way that makes it easy. We know it's difficult for SMEs to do business with large organisations, but equally we're completely dependent on SMEs. I think more than 50%, something like 60% of our suppliers are SMEs. So we recognise we have to work in a way that works for them as well as for us, not just on environment matters and on any areas where we're needing to do business together. And as we've just said, it's a complete collaboration.
Yeah, lovely. I can see the rest of you nodding. Would you like to add to that?
100%. So, you know, from my standpoint, I'm a scientist and I spend my life researching and inventing technology that measures the carbon footprint of things. So from my side, I recently created something called the Dynamic Carbon Footprint. What it is an online tool where companies can go and look for technology, and it is ranking technology by carbon footprint. That sounds fairly simple. Victoria will know that is not a simple thing to do. It basically makes a level playing field. So if you want to go on and buy a laptop or a desktop or whatever you're looking for, you can rank these products scientifically by carbon footprint and make the right selections for your business. And the reason I'm making this point is I deal with organizations. So most recent one, they've got 250,000 users. So you can imagine the amount of hardware that's involved with that. And when they make a decision, I will talk to someone and they'll say, you know, they normally look at their Scope 2 energy efficiency, which, as I mentioned before, is about 20%. And they look for the most energy efficient device. The problem is, if you're not looking at the Scope 3 emission side of things, then you can make a significant impact, because actually devices that now qualify as Energy Star rated or third party certification for energy efficiency can have very diverse Scope 3 emissions, from a difference between, as a laptop, this probably won't mean much to anybody, but a laptop Scope 3 could be 200 kilograms of GHG emissions. But the same laptop that's also certified can be as much as 800. So if you make the choice, you're actually reducing your Scope 3 emissions hugely by just making intelligent choices. And I think that's the whole point around companies like Fujitsu, is, you know, making sure that they are putting that message out there to make sure people understand this subject. And when you are doing hardware refreshes or whatever it is, then absolutely you make the right choices and make a real difference.
Nice. How do people get hold of that? Is it going to be available open source?
Or yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I obviously spent many years of my life creating it, but I have made a decision that it is free of charge to use. And it's been adopted by, we've got a user base at the moment of 3 million users. So that's, you know, quite significant, and it's making a difference. It is going into various different policies, and it's certainly changing the behaviours of manufacturers. I won't mention those names, but we've had a few manufacturers come forward that never previously produced carbon footprint reports for products. And I've said they absolutely will, because they want to be involved in this project to make sure people know what the footprint is.
Amazing, amazing. Well done. That's brilliant, brilliant. Thank you for that. Mark and Gudrun, would you like to add anything to this particular topic, or are you happy for us to?
Yeah, I'm very happy to. So technology, and basically accessible technology, is going to be really important. And you know, if you think the conversation we're having earlier about, you know, how far away Scope 3 is from SMEs, and how few of them are aware of their climate footprint, you need to be able to deliver a technological solution that actually they can interface with really easily. So I'm thinking here about, you know, personal carbon trackers. We have the Kogo partnership through our retail bank that actually gives you that opportunity to measure your carbon footprint from your mobile phone. So we've had 300,000 customers use that. We've just launched a carbon planning tool for businesses, again, free to use, don't have to be a customer, but trying to make things simple and trying to deliver on the back of that some actionable insight that's going to benefit your business. A lot of the transition to net zero is going to be beneficial to SMEs. There's a huge market opportunity. With energy prices the way they are, there's the potential to save costs as well. So technology is a real important enabler in helping businesses to make that first step.
I just wanted to make a bit, Mark makes a brilliant point there. You know, I always say this, Jarvis, the conversation about saving money is as big as saving the planet. So it's very simple. If you've got a device that you can keep for 8 years rather than 5 years through various different strategies, then obviously that's spreading that Scope 3 emissions impact across many more years. And what that does, that displaces procurement cycles to longer cycles. So to cut a long story short, it reduces your carbon footprint by around about 37%. So thinking about that in the way Mark's just talked about it, if you can actually buy things and just use them for a longer period and be more useful with them, then that obviously massively reduces emissions.
Brilliant, brilliant.
One of the comments that I would make on technology and on data in particular is that it is the biggest issue for most companies of any size, is how do you collect the data and how do you present the data so that other people can understand it. And I was talking to someone the other day who was telling me how some organizations are starting to use AI now to interrogate, particularly investors, to interrogate sustainability reports and see what's out there in the public domain and what they can learn about it. But one of the big challenges for small businesses is that most companies have their own system for procurement. So, we have been heard even from some of our bigger members that if you supply to all of the, you know, the major supermarkets, for example, you could have to fill in a separate assessment for each of those organizations. So I guess there's a call within that to say, if you are a small business and you are, part of an organization like the FSB or the Chambers or somebody or a trade body, how can you come together with other smaller businesses and the bigger companies that you all supply into to say, is there a way that this could be streamlined? Because it's a real challenge to be able to make sure that you've got all the data, but that you're also presenting it in the right way if people have got different requirements. So there's almost like a things that big businesses can do to help small businesses help them, and that, you know, reporting and what you require is quite an important one, I would say.
So Gudrun, thank you for that, because interestingly enough, one of our other episodes actually focused on data and analysis and the importance of understanding that data. And it was actually, there were some really tangible examples, particularly related to the energy crisis and, you know, energy bills within houses. So thank you for reminding us of that. So those listeners that haven't checked out that episode, you can go back to that one. I'd quite like to stay with you, Gudrun, if I may, because what are you seeing that's on the horizon for business owners, and what can they look out for when it comes to other bits that you're seeing?
Sure. So I think the next the next kind of big thing that's coming really is the extension of the scope three thinking by the big companies across their suppliers and their customers, and very much looking at their products and services. So, and looking to collaborate with their partners, so their suppliers. So we know that Sky, for example, has done a lot of work with their supply chain on removing single-use plastics, and also around their net zero commitment, which is very much about saying, how do we look at our products and services, but also how can we support and co-invest? So Sky have been working with at least one of their factories in China, and working together to put solar panels on, and then they've shared the benefits of that. So those are really interesting opportunities where you can see how you can get that support from your customers to help you with things. Another interesting thing that was, this is a few years ago now, was one of the pharmaceutical companies was, when they were working on their products and the carbon emissions and the impact of their products, they were then sharing that on with their customers to say, we've done this and it's reduced the carbon footprint of this by this much, therefore that can help you with your scope three here. So where are the kind of proactive opportunities around that? And the final thing I would say is that, you know, the public have not let go of this as an issue. So, I mean, the research we did for COP26 last year, there will be some differences now with the cost of living crisis, but actually it seems that it still holds that, you know, almost three quarters of people want companies to do stuff on this agenda, and they don't think that companies are doing enough, or they don't know what companies are doing. So those opportunities to differentiate yourself in the market are quite significant. And there was a brilliant small hairdressing salon in Scotland near Aberdeen that won one of our awards a few years ago now, the Sustainability Award, that had just done some fantastic things in their own salon, and also in how they could shape their industry and educate other people around what they could do. And it had really started to give them a lot of benefits for their business. So we would say, always look for the opportunities. Don't just focus on the negatives. This is a direction of travel that's only going to accelerate. So get in up front and you'll be able to get those benefits.
Yeah, great. And would anybody, I bet others have got other things that they're seeing that are on the horizon. Please share.
Absolutely. I think there's two things. You know, if you're familiar with a model called Porter's Five Forces, which is basically, if you're producing something, then there are influences externally as to whether or not you're successful. So a lot of the things that I'm seeing at the moment are, it's kind of friendly consumer pushback, because people have choices. So we're finding that companies that are consuming IT, technology, etc., are pushing back and saying, but what if? And they're saying, look, you know, I need low carbon footprint products. So they're asking the manufacturers for that data to make that step, to be sending things like, stop sending me laptops with lots of plastic ties in it, or plastic bags, etc., etc. So sort of low carbon packaging, that type of thing. So we're seeing a lot of that. And that's also going into the design of products now, where they're using things like soy inks instead of standard sort of oil-based inks. But the other thing is, with that, computers are becoming modular. And computers previously used to be modular. They went through being to sealed units, and now they're going back to, you know, you can take the back of it off, change your hard drive, reuse it, keep it for longer. So that's one of the good things. But a big part of my research, which I find now is becoming more and more important, people talk about working from home, and that used to be a fantastic, I can work from home, I can wear my pajamas. And now that's kind of moved on to, actually, I can think about, I'm not commuting to work. So basically the commuting to work impact of scope three is being reduced by people not going into the office so much. So that is a huge topic at the moment. Can people work safely and securely by remote working from home? but actually through technology. So it's kind of that technology-enabled conversation for Scope 3.
I love that, because I mean, we obviously saw a massive shift in that when we had the pandemic and everyone was in lockdown and had to
Absolutely.
Work from home, of course. Yeah. So we've got tangible evidence to that fact.
I did a research paper on that, and basically, if you're going into work every day, it worked out around about, you know, you're creating 2 tons worth of carbon by various different modes of transport. You know, I followed the movements of a very large company for 2 years to put all of this together for what we call commuting to access IT. So, you know, by just, you can do the math yourself, reduce that, you know, by a day goes down 20%, 2 days goes down 40%, so on and so on and so on. So I think that's a really big thing for people at the moment, realizing that impact.
I think you're being very humble, Justin. I mean, that big company we happen to know was Citrix, who's one of the, you know, the big technology firms. And you did an astounding job, because I was working alongside you, certainly not in the research part of it, but just in terms of understanding what you were doing.
All the way through.
And it was amazing. So, you know, don't be humble. You've probably single-handedly begun to open up and change the game from that research. So
thank you
for doing that.
I just wanted to add, I completely agree with all of that, but we then need to measure the emissions of working at home, which we're not all doing at the moment. We need to make the most of that by not heating and lighting the offices that we're not sitting in anymore. And when we are commuting, we need to measure that, because again, that all fits into our carbon footprint, large or small organisations, and we need to measure it, and that's not easy.
I just want to make an anecdotal comment on that, if I may, before I forget. I had a meeting with someone over a video call. They were in the office, and I'm not going to say who it was, huge, huge company, and they were the only person in the office, and I could see that the actual office they were in would fit at least 300 people in there. And I asked, what made you go into the office today? There's nobody there. And the person involved said, because it's really warm and all the lights are on. And it just made me think of your comment there. And that's just something that's got to change.
And the other thing I'm conscious of in this conversation, just to change direction a bit, is we keep talking about products, and we're certainly a services business, and many of our suppliers are trying to measure the impact of Scope 3 on service is even harder than on product. So I think we have to bear that in mind when we're asking for this data too.
Service is such a difficult thing. I spend a lot of time measuring carbon footprint of service, and it includes a world of things that I know you'd know, Victoria, that most people wouldn't even think of. You know, what's the electricity use of WAN lines, networking, data centres, the people learning, creating software, everything is just endless and very, very difficult.
And then what proportion of that can you attribute to one customer?
Absolutely.
When we can measure it all, we then have to divide it.
Mind-blowing.
On the hybrid working point, one of our members, EcoAct, have done a really good simple guide to how do you calculate the carbon footprint of home working, and it's quite easy to estimate. So I would recommend having a look on their website for that. And the flip side to the home working cutting travel is that many businesses, maybe not so much for small businesses, but depending on where you are and who your landlord is, those buildings are a lot more efficient than homes. So the carbon footprint of having somebody in the office for some businesses may be less than having them at home. But if travel, for a service business, travel is going to be a huge part of your footprint, going to visit clients and do all the, you know, the work that you do. It might be less. So it's always swings and roundabouts, and you know, you need to balance the cost of one and the
I would say
that,
I mean,
other.
I've spent many, many years researching this, and the golden rule is actual physical travel in cars and vehicles, etc., outweigh any electrical and heating expense or impact to GHG by about 1,000 times. So the most important thing is, if you can work remotely, it is well worth doing it, because it
put
is
put a jumper on and walk up the stairs every 10
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, I must say I'm genuinely freezing at the moment because we don't have the heating on because of the type of thing that I do,
which is the case for a lot of people right now.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
I was going to say, if you didn't want to work from home, then if you come to RBS HQ, we've just installed 264 electric vehicle charging points.
Nice, nice. Let's hope you've got the fleets of salary sacrifice schemes of people buying into those cars. So thank you for that, Mark. So look, we need to move on because we are coming to very close to the end of the show. So in a quick fire round, what would be the one thing that you would recommend to our audience, our listeners within business around Scope 3? What's the one thing you'd recommend and why? So who wants to go first rather than putting anybody on the spot?
I'll go first.
Go on, Justin.
I'd recommend keep things longer. The longer you keep it, the lower the Scope 3 emissions are. I am talking about product-based items.
Thank you, Justin. And brilliant. And who wants to go next?
I'll go next. I would say just get started with measuring what your carbon footprint is, because once you measure it, then you can monitor it and you can work out what to do to make it better. There's definitely things out there in the same way as you can measure your own personal carbon footprint by keying a few things in. You can find that sort of thing that can measure it for your business, and then you can start to work on it. Don't wait for the perfect world or the perfect tool. Just get on and get started.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, start today.
So I was going to echo what Victoria said, that number one, do something. But number two, think about it as an opportunity. So we produced some research a couple of months ago that showed that there was a £160 billion opportunity for businesses in the transition to net zero, half of which is for SMEs. So don't think about it just as a business cost, but think about it as a business opportunity where you can save money.
So, I mean, I would echo the others as well and say, look, your scope one is somebody else's scope three. If you're a small business, worry about your scope one first. I would recommend any small business signs up to the Small Business Pledge and uses the accesses the resources on the Small Business Net Zero Hub, and then you can get moving.
Okay, so, well, look, thank you so much for that wise words of wisdom. I think we've definitely opened up the topic of Scope 3. Hopefully our listeners will have a little bit more of an insight as to what they can do within their organisations and do that today. Thank you, Victoria, Mark, Gudrun, Justin. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to getting together with you again very soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
So that's the end of our Scope 3 emissions. I hope you have become well more clued up on what you can do today to reduce your emissions in the intangible parts of your business, whether it's upstream or downstream or in the sea itself, who knows? But get behind it, start today, and let's make a difference together. And look out for episode 4 next week, which is all about people and purpose.